Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I think we'd all agree that leaders are important, right? When you have a good leader, it affects a lot of different people. We can see that in our government. We can see that when you have a boss as part of a company, and then even parents within a family. Leaders can make a difference. And when leaders are doing a good job, life can go quite well, and it can literally affect thousands, if not millions, of people. However, when leaders are not doing their job, it can affect many people in a negative way. You know how it goes when there's a particular government policy that's put into place and it can affect us in a very negative way. Or if your boss comes in and makes some changes and he doesn't know what's going on the ground floor, all of a sudden you're affected, but that doesn't just affect you and your job, but it affects your family and those around you. In our Old Testament lesson for today, Jeremiah has some harsh words for the leaders who have failed the people. God has been giving the prophecies, warning the people that they have turned away from the Lord, that the leaders have turned away from the Lord, and Jeremiah has some difficult words for the leaders. Jeremiah chapter 23. "Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture," declares the Lord. "Therefore, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the shepherds who care for my people, you have scattered my flock and have driven them away, and you have not attended to them. Behold, I will attend to you for your evil deeds," declares the Lord. Now, that word shepherd was often used for the kings, for the leaders. And these shepherds, like leading a flock, has led the people astray. And if you look at the history of Israel, you'll see a number of kings who had did, as it says in the scriptures, did evil in the sight of the Lord, and it affected the rest of the nation. And he refers to the people of Israel almost like a flock. And you see that in the scriptures, that God refers to his people like a flock. And he's concerned about these people. He cares about them. And he's upset with what the leadership is doing. Now we have a little history lesson to help understand the context of this with the prophet Jeremiah. From what we understand, the prophet Jeremiah was called to be a prophet in around 627 BC. And it was during a tumultuous time in that world. Very tumultuous time. He was prophesying during the reigns of the last couple of kings, the last five kings, before the southern kingdom of Judah fell by the hands of the Babylonians. And during this time in world history, there were several powers that were vying for control. Now, Assyria had been the world power for some time, but Assyria's power at this time was beginning to wane. But Egypt was trying to align itself with Assyria. They were still trying to have control. And meanwhile, over here, Babylon was beginning to rise in power. And guess what? The nation of Judah, the southern kingdom of Judah, was caught in the middle of this conflict. Already, 100 years prior, the northern kingdom had already fallen in about 722 BC to the Assyrians. So the northern kingdom was already gone and sent off, whereas the southern kingdom was still there, but they're in the middle of this political conflict. Then you got a bunch of rulers that are being stupid. Now, to be fair, there was one last king that was alive during the time of Jeremiah that tried to do what he could, but he made a bad political move. His name was Josiah. You might remember King Josiah, who was wanting to reform and to go back to the ways of the Lord. The law had been discovered in the temple, and he said, you know what? We need to be following the Lord God. We need to be serving him. And so he led the people, and there was reform, and it was looking wonderfully well. Things were doing well. However, I mentioned Egypt earlier. There was a guy named Pharaoh Necho who was going to help the Assyrians with a battle up north. And on his way up north, Pharaoh Necho was passing near Jerusalem. Well, Josiah, for whatever reason, decided that he was going to stop Pharaoh Necho, and so he got himself into a battle with this pharaoh. Well, guess what? He was killed in battle. Now, Pharaoh Necho says, you guys will pay tribute to me. You will now owe me money. Uh-oh. So that means that Jehoahaz, the son of Josiah, now was supposed to pay tribute. But on the way back from his campaign up north, Pharaoh Necho decided to just put Jehoahaz in prison, took him off to Egypt, and now Jehoahaz went bye-bye. He kind of deserved it, though, because he was following after the pagan practices of the kings before. So now we have Jehoiakim. Jehoiakim is the son of Jehoahaz. He's supposed to pay tribute to Egypt, but he's kind of narcissistic. He's into himself. He's into these building projects, even enslaving the Jews, using the Jews as slave labor, which was completely illegal according to the Old Testament prophet, Old Testament. In addition to this, Jeremiah comes and warns this dude, Jehoiakim, sends him a scroll, sends him a message from the Lord, and what does Jehoiakim do? He mocks it. And he bit by bit takes a knife and he cuts off little bits of the scroll during his time in his winter dwelling and is throwing little bits of Jeremiah's scroll into the fire after it's being read, completely mocking God's word. Well, Jehoiakim experiences some tribulation and troubles as now Pharaoh Necho is taken over by Nebuchadnezzar, I believe Nebuchadnezzar II, who also now wants tribute from Judah. It's getting complicated here. So Nebuchadnezzar chose to withhold tribute. He's like, nope, I'm not going to pay tribute. Well, guess what? Nebuchadnezzar attacks the first time, attacks Jerusalem, and takes Jehoiakim off to Babylon for a while, finally brings him back, puts him back on the throne, but Jehoiakim's being a bad king and doesn't listen to Nebuchadnezzar, and finally Nebuchadnezzar comes back, and then then the guy is taken off into prison. Well, his son, I'm almost done here with the history lesson. This gives you the context of what's going on here, right? Then Jehoiachin, the brother, all right, there'll be a quiz afterwards. The brother is put on the throne by Nebuchadnezzar. Well, Jehoiachin, he's also being stupid, and he lasts about 3 months. And then finally, Nebuchadnezzar comes in and there's a problem. Zedekiah, the uncle, is put into place, one more king, and finally Nebuchadnezzar comes in, destroys Judah, people are taken off to the land of Babylon, and now there is exile. I bring this forward to illustrate what's going on and how the leadership had failed Judah. They failed Judah by serving foreign gods, by their example, leading the people astray, being an abomination before the Lord, not listening to the prophets who were sent before them, but also with their political mistakes and their pride, they caused a huge problem that affected thousands and thousands of people. And now Judah, the people of Judah, find themselves, which they did deserve, they found themselves in the land of Babylon, and they would spend the next 70 years in exile. Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, declares the Lord. Therefore, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the shepherds who care for my people, you have scattered my flock and have driven them away, and you have not attended to them. Behold, I will attend to you for your evil deeds, declares the Lord. And I believe we at some time or another have experienced what happens when leaders in our life have been unfaithful to the Lord and have led us astray. Or perhaps we have been those leaders and we have led others astray. Over the years, you can see presidents in our country who have made really dumb mistakes, whatever side of the political coin they're on. They've made stupid mistakes and it's affected all of us in one way or another. Those bosses that you've had who have made poor choices, immoral choices, have affected you and the company and your livelihood. How about parents who have failed their children, who have made mistakes that have affected not only the children but also the grandchildren? How about pastors who have made poor choices, who have done stupid things, who have taught falsely that has affected many lives? And how about parents? How about pastors? How about leaders of all different kinds? And I think maybe we can be concerned then as we look at our situation and we wonder what's going to happen now. How are our lives going to be affected in the future? How are the lives of our children or grandchildren going to be affected down the road? It's a cause for pause, but it's also a call for repentance. It's a call for repentance for our nation. And it's a call for a turning and a repentance in your life and in my life for how we have strayed from the Lord, how we have been unfaithful, how our choices have affected our lives and the lives of those around us in a very negative and profound way. And we say, Lord, have mercy upon our nation. Lord, have mercy upon us. You know what's wonderful about our God is that He is gracious and merciful. And even with the prophecy that Jeremiah gives, he gives some very harsh words for the leadership. And many other things, if you look at the book of Jeremiah, very intense, harsh, difficult words. But in the midst of this, there is still hope. He does prophesy that there would be hope. Jeremiah 23 continues in verse 3. Then I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries where I have driven them, and I will bring them back to their fold, and they shall be fruitful and multiply. I will send shepherds over them who will care for them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall be any missing, declares the Lord. Even in the midst of that difficult prophecy, there is hope that there would be restoration, that God would have mercy upon his people. And in fact, he did. If you look then at biblical history, you'll find out that after the Babylonian exile, 70 years later, there's a foreign king of all things, King Cyrus, who gives a proclamation saying, if you'd like to go back to Jerusalem, you can. And he allows some of the people to go back to Jerusalem and to begin building up the walls, begin building up the city again, rebuilding the temple. And people such as Nehemiah and Ezra are there to help the people, and there is restoration that takes place. But Jeremiah is looking forward to a time even farther in history. Even farther in history. And that leads us to the Messiah. It leads us to the righteous branch, as he calls him. Jeremiah 23, verse 5 says, Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch. And he shall reign as king and deal wisely and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will dwell securely. And this is the name by which he will be called. Yahweh is our righteousness. The Lord is our righteousness. We look forward, and he looks forward to the righteous branch. The word branch, the symbol of branch is used often to refer to the Messiah. And we know who that is. We know the Messiah to be Jesus Christ, the righteous branch. And in a seemingly hopeless situation with Judah almost destroyed, from what looks like a stump almost, comes forth this branch that the lineage of David, the promises that were given to David were fulfilled in the person of Jesus Christ. You'll remember these words from Luke chapter 1, these words that an angel gave to a woman named Mary. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom, there will be no end. Isaiah, who prophesied earlier, says this, For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from the time forth and forevermore. Jesus, the righteous branch, has come. And unlike the kings before, unlike all the screw-ups, all the leaders before who have messed up, Jesus is the righteous one, the righteous branch, as he is called. Yahweh is our righteousness. And the good news for you and for me is that Jesus is your righteousness, that Jesus is my righteousness. that though we have failed miserably, though we deserve nothing but punishment, though we deserve to be completely wiped out, completely destroyed, God sent Jesus to take your punishment upon himself. Even though he was the righteous one, he took the wrath of God upon himself so that you would not be utterly destroyed, but rather that you would be made part of the everlasting kingdom, which is yours in Christ Jesus. Now, the prophecies given in Jeremiah are for the Jewish people, but as a result of being grafted in, being made part of God's family, then we also inherit the promises that are given for us. That's what I love about the epistle lesson, about Paul as he's talking to the Gentiles, and he said this. He said, remember that you were at the time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. He goes on in Ephesians 2:19, so then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. And unlike the unrighteous leaders, the unrighteous shepherds, as they are called, you have the righteous King who is also the Good Shepherd. As we sang that wonderful, beloved psalm, Psalm 23, we say, the Lord is my shepherd. Jesus is the one who said, I am the Good Shepherd, the one who laid down his life for you, the one who loves you more than words alone could express, but rather his arms stretched out on the cross for you. He is the one who will supply your needs, who will give you daily bread, sometimes in the most amazing ways. And he is the one who is there for you, even in the most difficult of times, as it says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. This is the righteous shepherd king who is your king, who has made you a part of his kingdom. You, a baptized child of God, made his, adopted into his family with a kingdom that will have no end. Make note of this. Though the USA at some point may disappear from this earth, though other countries of the world may disappear from this earth, because of Jesus Christ, your King, you have been made part of an everlasting kingdom that will never end. For we have the promises of God that there will be a new heaven and a new earth. And we know that there will come a time when there will be true peace. We talk about peace, but there will come a time when there will be no more tears, no more sorrow, no more suffering, because King Jesus is coming back and he will reign upon his throne. And every knee at that time, every knee will bow, and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of the Father. And in that day, we do not stand in fear because he is our righteousness. As the hymn says, Jesus, thy blood and righteousness, my beauty are my glorious dress. Midst flaming worlds in these arrayed, with joy shall I lift up my head. Bold shall I stand in that great day, for who aught to my charge shall lay? Fully absolved through these I am from sin and fear, from guilt and shame. On the last day we stand righteous before our God because of our righteous Savior, King Jesus. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard, guide, and keep your hearts and minds in the one true faith until life everlasting. Amen.